Hey, good evening, everyone. This is Lisa Pisano with Coach Training Alliance. Welcome to the Becoming a Certified Coach workshop. I see we have a couple people here. So, hey, if you're just joining in, I'd love to hear your first name and where you're connecting from.
I'm Kate.
Who's
from Colorado.
Oh, hey, Kate. How are you tonight?
Good. How are you doing?
Great. Great. Welcome.
Thank you.
Well, who else is just joining in? We're just doing some quick introductions, so if you've just arrived, welcome. We'd love to hear your first name and where you're connecting from.
Hello, my first name is Liam, and I'm connecting from Lebanon.
And it's Liam?
William, that's W-I-A-M.
William, gotcha. From Lebanon. Hey, great, welcome. What time is it there?
It's 11 p.m.
Oh, goodness, I hope we keep you awake. I think we will. We'll be interactive and fun, I promise. Who else is joining in? So if you're just joining us, if you've just connected, welcome to the Becoming a Certified Coach workshop. I'd love to hear your first name and where you're connecting from.
Sure. My name is Christy. Sorry.
Okay, go ahead. Was it Chris?
Yeah, Christina Peterson, calling in from Minneapolis.
From Minneapolis. Great. Welcome. And who was the other woman? I think it was the woman.
Yeah, I'm Liz O'Connor. I'm calling in from Boston.
Oh, get out. We're in Boston. I'm in Boston, too.
Oh, really? In Dorchester. I'm right outside of Codman Square.
Oh, cool. All right. Yeah, I'm actually in the suburbs, so I'm in Plainville right now, which is kind of between Boston and Providence, so close to Foxborough.
Uh-huh. Got it. Well,
yeah,
you have
enjoying the rain? Right? It's like this is the month you're like, come on, spring, let's go.
Totally.
Oh, man. Well, all right, let's get going. I expect a few more people joining, but, it's only 2 minutes past. But I'll check in with people as they join in. But welcome to the Becoming a Certified Coach workshop. My name is Lisa Pisano. I am the Director of Admissions here at Coach Training Alliance. I am also a practicing coach, so I have my own private coaching business. My specialty is divorce adjustment coaching, and I partner with professional women after divorce. And I love coaching. I love what I get to do. I'm a CPA grad, so I went through the training after much research, just like you all are doing, I'm sure, right now. Went through the certified coach program, finished up in 2005. So I've been coaching ever since. I love it. I love what I get to do. I feel like I get to do what I love, help other people, make a great living. I mean, it's kind of a win-win-win. And we'll talk a lot about coaching. I won't tell you my whole story into coaching because we've got a lot of fun things to talk about. So a couple of things. First, I think we're all here. I think everyone's had a chance to introduce. Couple of things. If you want to, class will be really interactive. I mean, I like for us to, for this call to mirror what we do in the Certified Coach Program in that the training is live, it's interactive. So if you can stay live with us, we're going to interact tonight. But if you have background noise and you need to mute, you can certainly do that. If you're connecting through web call, there's a mute button. You can mute and unmute there. You'll see the line goes through it as you're muted. If you're on a cell phone landline, you can hit *6 on the number keypad on your phone. Or if you have a mute button on your phone, you can use that and kind of keep track of if you're muted and unmuted. But you can go on and off mute. That's fine. Just full disclosure, I do have a conference, like a dashboard here, so I have the power to mute you. So if I happen to see, like, some background noise coming from your line, I may mute you. Feel free to come off mute whenever you like to share. The other thing is, as we share and have questions, if you could just say your first name, that would be great. That way we know who's speaking. And let's see, let me just check in. Anyone new just joining in that we haven't heard from? Anyone just joining in? We'd love to hear your first name and where you're connecting from. All right. So, all right. The purpose of this Becoming a Certified Coach workshop is first to provide you with the information that you need to make a decision about becoming a professional coach, and also to allow you to test drive a teleclass, especially if you've never experienced this format of learning before. So live interactive by phone, so we don't teach in a video environment. We'll go into some of the reasons why, but this is the format we'll use, live interactive by phone. Keep in mind, we have a small group tonight. Looks like there's about six of us on the call. In our certified coach programs, also a small group. We limit our classes to just 10 to 12 students per class. So this will give you a good idea of what class is like, but live and interactive for sure. As an overview of what we're going to do, you're going to experience a live coaching demo. So we're going to do a demo so we can model coaching. I've invited in one of our longtime mentor coaches. Mentor coach Lori Cameron will be joining us, and she has been a mentor coach here with CTA since like the beginning of time. She was actually my mentor coach back in 2005, so we go way back. But Lori will be joining us. I invited her because we have fun doing this, but also because she's got a class starting. Lori's next certified coach program will begin next Wednesday, which is the 26th at 5 p.m. Eastern time. So I thought it'd be great to invite her. That way, if it's a good time for you and you enroll in class, you're meeting your mentor coach right now. So we'll do a live demo with Lori. I'll also ask for a volunteer client from our group. So someone gets some free coaching, so you be thinking about that because I will be asking for a volunteer. You'll also have a chance to ask questions about the field of coaching, starting your own coaching practice, different applications for coaching, marketing a coaching business. I'll give you an overview of the training here at CTA, so you'll learn a whole lot about our ICF accredited coach training program. So yeah, we've got a lot to do. But we're going to start first by talking about the co-creative relationship of coaching. So we're going to talk about what we do as coaches and what we don't do, and we'll talk about what our clients do in their roles. It was kind of outlined in a video I sent out this morning. I think it was, maybe it came out in an email yesterday too, but it was a short animated video. Did folks get a chance to watch the animated video?
Yes, I
yes,
did.
Yes, no? Oh, yay. Great. Anyone else? Yes, no?
Yes, yeah, sir.
Oh, good, good, good. All right. Well, if you didn't watch it, no worries. We're going to go over it now. But you can find it on our YouTube channel. We've got a lot of cute content there. Well, we have a lot of great content there. We also have a couple of cute videos on coaching, so they're animated. So feel free to check that out. You can find our YouTube channel on the bottom of any of our web pages. You'll be able to click on the YouTube icon. So, all right, this is where we're going to get interactive. So I'm going to ask you guys, what do you know so far about what we do as coaches? What do we do, or what skills do we use?
This is Christina. I would say a big skill would be listening.
Yeah, actually it's number one. It's the number one thing we do as coaches. And it's something we do more than anything else. I've heard it described as like 80-20, like 80% listening, 20% talking. I'm not sure if it's I actually get to 80-20, but all to say, listening is really important. It's the most important thing we're doing. So as coaches, we're listening deeply, and we're listening on multiple levels. So we're listening to what our clients are saying. We're listening to what they're not saying. We're listening for their energy, their tone, the topic they want to discuss, what they want to take away from the coaching session. So this deeper listening, I call it intuitive listening, but it's the below the surface listening. It's, I feel like it's kind of something that, you know, in the times we live, it's kind of a lost art. I think a lot of times people listen to respond rather than listen to really hear. But it's what we want to develop in the Certified Coach Program. And it's actually one of the big reasons we don't teach with video. You know, as we defocus from visual distractions and visual clues, you know, we're able to further develop, to really develop that intuitive listening skill. What else? I see Liz has her hand up.
Yeah, I was going to say trying to help someone come to their own epiphany rather than give them an answer.
Yeah. So come to their own epiphany, next step, you know, aha moment. Yeah, we help clients to do that. Like, so we're not directive, but instead we're creating the space for clients to discover. And what skills will we use to do that? What helps?
This is Christina. I would say just asking, like, probing questions or thoughtful questions to kind of get them thinking.
Yes, excellent. Yeah, at probing questions. I think I say in the video that we come from, coaches come from a place of massive curiosity. But, yeah, we ask lots of questions. We're curious. We're interested in our clients. So open-ended, powerful, probing, yes, direct, thought-provoking, you know, maybe even challenging questions. Simple questions can be really powerful. So we ask questions so that we help our client move from kind of that stuck thinking mindset and begin, the questions help them to begin to shift into possibility thinking. So as clients are shifting, they're gaining awareness, they're gaining clarity, they're searching, discovering, finding a next step or solution. You know, that's where those epiphanies come from. What about what we don't do? What don't we do?
This is Christina. I would say not solving whatever it is that they're trying to, you know, discuss or overcome or whatever challenge, if you will, like not trying to tell them what to do, if you will.
Yeah, we don't tell them what to do.
Yeah, so no telling people what to do, even if we have really good ideas in our minds of what we think they ought to do. We don't tell them. We keep that to ourselves. Yeah, so we don't tell people what to do, which would include, like, making suggestions, advising, providing consulting. So we're not the expert in someone else's life. They're the expert. Our clients are the expert. Coaches are the detached thinking partner. So we don't tell. What else?
This is Mallory. Sorry, I think I missed the introduction. I'm calling in from Seattle.
Well, hey, welcome.
Thank you. I would say that that coaching is not therapy, and I know that's something that a lot of people make an assumption about. So we don't make, you know, deal with any psychological diagnoses or provide therapy.
Yeah, great. Yeah, so we don't do any kind of therapy, counseling. We're not trying to fix our clients or save them or treat them or analyze them or diagnose them. You know, coaching is more about, like, the here and the now and the moving forward. So we're not, like, trying to uncover stuff. Like, instead we're looking at, you know, asking questions that help our clients to shift forward. Yeah, so we're not really exploring the old story or drilling down into a problem. Excellent. Anything else you can think of that we don't do?
Get involved with your clients.
Yeah, we don't do that. We don't get involved with them. We also don't, and that's a good point. So we're like kind of the detached thinking partner. We're not getting involved. We're not even getting overly invested, right? Like, to the point where, you know, we're a detached thinking partner. So, you know, we don't want more for our clients than they want for themselves, right? But we're also not going to make assumptions or judge our clients. You know, so anytime we're thinking something, rather than making an assumption, we're gonna ask a question, right? And we're not gonna judge, because nobody likes to be judged at all. What about what clients do? What do the clients do?
This is Mallory. I think that the clients are in charge of kind of coming up with goals and an agenda to bring to the conversation.
Yeah. Yeah, so the clients set the agenda for the coaching session. So I like to call it a clear and specific, clearly articulated agenda. So the client decides what they want to talk about. We don't decide for them. They come with an agenda. You know, and sometimes we need to kind of train our clients to do that. A lot of coaches use a client prep form. It gives them an opportunity to kind of think it through a bit, gain some clarity around what they want to work on. We also don't set the goals for our clients. The clients do the heavy lifting, right? So they're the ones that are doing the work. Like, so they come in a place where I would say someone that's coachable is, you know, ready to engage. They're, you know, come from a place of willingness to dig in and shift and, you know, maybe challenge some beliefs. But they're ready to do this kind of work, to take responsibility for their story and make decisions and set goals and work toward them. So the clients do a lot of work in the coaching session and a lot of talking, right? We're listening, so they're going to hopefully be doing a lot of talking. Anything else you can think of that the clients do? All right, I'm going to spill the beans on this one. But I think it's really important to mention in this class, especially as we're all exploring coaching, clients pay for their coaching services, which is great. I'm sure you've all been helping people and maybe coaching for a long time, but in your own coaching practice, an ideal coaching client is going to see the value in coaching. They're going to know and understand this process and be ready and willing to invest in themselves. So they're going to pay for their coaching services, which is great. So that's a quick recap of the video, but this sets the stage for our coaching demo. So kind of be thinking about what we've just outlined here, because that's what we're going to demonstrate in the coaching demo. But for the demo, I need a volunteer client. So who would like to volunteer to be coached? Or who wants some free coaching? Someone's ready to volunteer. Who wants to be our client?
Sorry, I was muted. This is Liz. I would be delighted to be the client.
So you were saying, I will. Yeah. Great, Liz. So Liz from Boston, you are our client. Excellent. For you, your job as the client, and thank you for volunteering. You'll learn so much just by jumping in. So your job is to bring an agenda just like a regular client. So this is your issue or topic or, you know, question you want to work through with Coach Lori. It can be really, you know, anything that's real and current to you. So like something you want to do some work on or move forward on. You know, it might be work-related. It might be have to do with a relationship or, you know, just something going on that you want some, you want to have some coaching around. So you'll have a couple minutes to think about that. Is that clear, Liz?
Sure, yes.
All right, awesome. Okay, everyone else on the line, you guys are in this too. So what I'd love for you to do if you're in a place where you can take some notes is maybe write down some observations. What do you notice about the session? What surprises you or what questions do you have around it? If you take some notes and write down some observations, we'll have a good Q&A afterwards. Lori will open up and ask for your observations. So if you can take some notes, I would love that. Also, if you could mute, hit *6, that would be great. That way we can give Lori and Kate the full line. And with that, I'm going to introduce you to mentor coach Lori Cameron, who's got a class beginning next Wednesday, so a week from Wednesday, 5 p.m. Eastern time. Hey, Lori, welcome.
Thank you, Lisa. And actually, it's Liz that volunteered, not Kate.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was looking at the bridge in her lump.
Yeah, I figured.
I am so sorry.
Yes, I knew you knew that. That's.
And I wrote
I
down
just
Liz.
Make,
and
that's fine. Anyway, hi, everyone.
Really?
I know. And definitely not late here. It's mid-afternoon. So hi, everyone. So glad to be here. I'm Lori Cameron. And let's see, I've been the lead trainer with Coach Training Alliance for 22 years as of last month. I know. And a coach for 27 years. And since 1998, I started this whole thing, and I just love it. And I love training new coaches. I'm in the Pacific Northwest in a small town in Northwest Washington on the west side of Puget Sound. And what I love about having a coaching business is that I can live anywhere I want, and I want to live here. So it's a really nice opportunity to create a business that I can take wherever I go, including the training. So anyway, that's me. I think that's probably enough. We can just jump in, Lisa?
Yeah, sounds great. I'm going to mute, and I'll keep an eye on the bridge.
Okay, thank you so much. And hi, Liz.
Hi.
And where are you calling from?
Boston. I'm at work in my office in Boston, Mass.
Boston, okay. I'm kind of directly west of you, west of, but just a little tad north.
Yeah, right. You're basically across Route 90, right? Like,
yeah, right. And then north. Yeah. Oh, interesting. Yeah, so we're pretty close. That would be latitudinally.
Yeah.
Anyway, I digress. So thank you so much for stepping up and being willing to participate in this demo and get a little bit of coaching. And 10 of the 22 weeks of the Certified Coach Program are what we call coach sessions, where there's a schedule and everybody or each coach, you're coaching each other in the class in 10 of those 22 weeks. And it's a great way to practice building confidence and style and skills as a coach. And so in this intro workshop that Lisa facilitates so brilliantly, we'd like to make sure that you have an opportunity to really see and feel what coaching is like. So that's what we're going to do. And we're going to go 15-ish minutes. And I'm going to get my timer here. We'll just see if it's a little bit longer, a little bit shorter than that. And then we'll have an opportunity to debrief. So are you ready to dive in head first, Liz?
I am. Thanks.
Fantastic. So what is it that you would like to bring to a coaching session?
Well, by the fastest introduction I can, just for a little context, I have my own business. I'm a consultant. I also incidentally do training, but in a different area. We're a strategic planning and organizational change firm. So a lot of the work I do is related to coaching in a sense, in that I have to meet my clients where they are and help them figure out where they're going and then how they're going to get there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in the last 10 years of my career, I'm in my late 50s, and the pandemic and the cultural tumult that have resulted from the pandemic and some of the racial reckoning that our country has been, and political reckoning that we've been going through, have really changed my vision for growing a business. I used to have sort of a linear idea of how it's going to grow and get bigger and more influential and more powerful and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, we've had ups and downs. I'm in year 25. But I really want to figure out what I want to do with my business for the last 10 years of my career. And it's in a condition that is not, that path isn't clear. And I guess it's sort of ironic about my question, because I'm a strategic planner. You would think I could make a strategic plan for my own company. But the issue I have learned is that I don't know what I want. So I have to figure out what I want out of this business in order to make a plan for the business to meet me there.
Sure.
It didn't occur to me that I might use getting trained as a coach to be a coachee on this problem. But since you invited me, I thought I would give it to you as a practice.
Absolutely. Yes. Okay.
That's not the right problem that you want. I also have like personal things, but that was the one that came to mind. So I don't know if that's helpful.
Well, let's honor that. Absolutely. So a lot going on, and you know, your awareness of what's going on is wonderful. And what I'm hearing that you would like to take away, well, actually, let me just ask you that. So if you could take away one thing or one plan or strategy from this session, what would you like to take away?
I would like to take away some confidence that I'm either asking the right questions of myself or that I know how to create a path forward.
Okay. Confidence that you're asking the right questions about your path forward.
Yeah, exactly. Like, even if we can't answer them, like, that I at least know how to think about it. And even better, a plan for the next 10 years. That seems like a lot to ask in one call.
Not necessarily. I'm not going to jump to that.
Great.
So I want to actually go back to one thing that you said that is kind of feeling like a potential takeaway that I wanted to check in with you on. And that is, as I'm looking at my notes, essentially, well, and you kind of just said it, what to do with your own business for the last 10 years, and you set a plan for the next 10 years. So 10 years is a time frame here. I also heard you say you don't know what you want.
Right.
So would it also be accurate to say that you'd like to get an idea of what you want?
Yeah.
Does that need to come first before the plan?
Yeah. Yes, it does. Yes, thank you. It does.
Okay. So I'm just taking a note here. Let's try this. In 10 years, I can't believe this is going to sound weird out loud, in March 17th, St. Patrick's Day, 2035.
Wow.
I had to think about that for a moment. St. Patrick's Day, 2035. What do you want to look back on and say, that was awesome?
First and foremost, I think that the clients I worked for benefited from that work. I want to be able to, you know, really be certain that what I did at a minimum didn't hurt anybody and better yet help somebody. Almost equal in importance to me 10 years from now when I look back on it will be saying I provided for good work-life balance and working conditions and purposeful careers with decent salaries to whatever number of people came through here over the years. And
as in employees?
Yeah, employees.
Okay.
And I would also really like to be able to say that I helped my husband retire a little bit earlier than he thought he could because I was earning enough to let him stop stressing so much about money.
Okay.
I think that's a pretty tall order. That'll do it.
Well, you've got 10 years.
Yeah, exactly.
So what has to change? Or actually, that was kind of an assumption. What has to be in place in order for you to be able to look back 10 years from now in this way?
That's a difficult question to answer in the territory of things I actually control, I'm afraid. But I'll start with some that I don't, which is like, I think one thing that has to be in place is that there has to be an economy that's functioning sufficiently that the business can stay alive.
Yeah. We pretty much have very little over that. So what has to be in place that you have control over?
I guess first things first, I have to get clear on what I want, and then I have to be able to make a plan that can pivot, but also be clear enough that other people like employees can figure it out. So it has to be both agile and flexible and clear. I think what else has to be in place, I probably have to up my revenue by about 30% in order to really make good on that. On the two financial components, you know, helping employees make sure they earn enough and then earning enough myself to help my husband retire. I'd say maybe 30 to 50% even more revenue has to be in place. So,
okay.
Yeah, I have to know what I want. I have to figure out the revenue. And I think there's probably other things. I'm not sure what they are, though.
Okay. So I've heard you say a number of times, have to figure out what you want. And in what context?
In the context of work, I think there's things that I enjoy doing, and maybe sometimes I want to just do more of that. And then there's things that are sort of more prestigious and maybe lead to more money. So I have to sometimes decide between those two kinds of things. And then there are also projects where it feels like I'm building towards something bigger. So there's like immediate gratification from either the feeling of fulfillment and purpose or from the prestige of the client, or, and maybe and in some cases, it could be a project that takes me to a new level of visibility or a new level of influence.
And I appreciate that you changed your or to and, because I was just about to challenge you on that. Are all these things mutually exclusive?
No, I think actually, ideally, if I were my own strategic planner, I would say you want to find the solution that gets you all of those things.
I'm hearing some wisdom in there. Are you?
Yeah. I mean, I think for organizations it works. I can see it so clearly. You know, an organization will tell me, oh, we want to serve more people, but we also want to serve them better, and we don't know how to do both of those things. And then, you know, we have all these tricks that we use to help them see it. But for some reason, I can't quite – it's never as clear for me. So I definitely think there's something in there about go for all of it first and then maybe pare away things that you can't have if you discover it's impossible. But why start anywhere short of all of it?
Okay. So tell me about your – the ors you want to change to ands.
Oh.
which you just said, the all of it.
Yeah, I think that would mean I want to take on work that is purposeful to me, enjoyable, and leading to both greater revenue and greater, I'll say, visibility. You know, I'm in a crowded marketplace, so I have to stand out and differentiate. So greater revenue and greater differentiation power.
Okay.
That's what I'll say.
So I'd like to reflect that back to you, what you just said,
yeah.
Liz. Take on work that is purposeful and enjoyable and greater revenue and I heard greater visibility. I don't think those are the words. I didn't write down the words you said, but
that's okay. I said if, you know, it helps me to be more differentiated from competitors.
Differentiated. Yeah. Visibility was easier for me to write. Differentiated.
Yeah.
Okay. So, purposeful and enjoyable and greater revenue and differentiated.
Perfect. Yeah, that's right.
How will you determine? How will you evaluate something that comes in or an opportunity or prospective work to make sure all four of those ands are included?
That's, you know, I think the first two are easy only because after 25 years, I've got a good gut feeling about what's enjoyable. And purposeful is almost a criteria. I'm not even sure I need to say that, because it's almost a criteria for us to take on the project. We don't work with people that aren't – it's mostly mission-driven clients, and we're just a little careful about that. I think it's the bigger money and bigger differentiation. How will I evaluate it? Well, I guess if the client accepts our hourly rate without too much nickel and diming us on – either how many hours or what our rate is, that would be one way I would know it. And on the differentiation, that may, I don't love to say this, but that I might think that that's actually a little bit unknowable, because so much of it depends on what I don't control, again, which is like the client's level of satisfaction, but also their ability to link the work I've done to whatever good thing happened later, which is not always clear.
Right.
It's, you know, sometimes it's clear to me, but not them. And sometimes it's clear to them, but not me. But so I'm not sure that we know at the front end what we're going to think about that. And usually, you know, they can't help me differentiate until they get through their process. But the first three, gut, haggling over price too much, and is it aligned with our own organizational values? That ought to do it. Yeah.
Okay. Well, the differentiation part too, I want to kind of challenge you on that cannot happen till later. Is that true?
Yeah, that's a good question.
May I change my question? How can differentiation happen earlier than you think it will?
Yeah, that's a good question. I'm not even sure how to figure it out. It feels like it should be something I could do. But you know, it's, maybe if how well networked the client is has something to do with it. Like I'm thinking about in the past, I've had clients, one guy, I thought it was kind of a small project and I didn't think it was very visible itself. But he turned out to be, the guy who was running the organization turned out to be this incredibly well-networked and just generous person. So he gave our name to like 15 other organizations, some of which have been my, you know, very prestigious clients. So that's what I mean about kind of unknowable. But maybe the client's individual and professional network would be a factor there. Maybe their generosity with their time also, because really, the word of mouth is how my whole business works. So when people are generous with their time, it yields new business for me because they take the time to make the referral.
Okay. So what other ways can you leverage referrals and differentiation to be able to take on more purposeful, enjoyable, higher revenue work?
That's a good question, too. Well, I wonder if
they think that's what I get paid the big bucks for. Come in here.
Right. You know, I suppose one way to think about it is I could ask those clients who are differentiating me more specifically to make specific introductions or referrals or to, you know, maybe I could also I do thank them, of course, but I could find more frequent ways to note my appreciation. So, and, you know, we do track it, but perhaps we don't do enough with the data. So maybe the other question would be look back at our data and figure out which referrals have really mattered and how we get more like that.
Kind of leads me to my last question, and we're just a little over 15 minutes, so I'd like to just kind of wrap it up in a couple of minutes here, is what feels like the most relevant and effective first step here to move forward?
That's almost a trick question with me because writing a strategic plan is second nature. So I took notes as well while we were talking, and I thought, I'm just going to put this into a little draft strategic plan. That'll be my first step. And the real first step after that, which is kind of just organizing my thinking, would be to talk to my employees, share with them, have them help me kick the tires on it, because nothing I would do in this area would be either without them or not impacting them. So they really have to be my full teammates to do this.
Okay. Where does looking at the data of past clients come in?
Oh, yeah, good. I could actually just delegate that to somebody, like, immediately.
Because that's the thing that you mentioned. You could ask clients, and you said, maybe I just need to look at the data.
Yeah. Yeah, and maybe that's...
And I was kind of hearing a first step in there, and that's what I wanted to ask about.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea. I think also looking at the data and probably asking what other questions arise from that data instead of just trying to use it to answer things. So that there may be questions we're not asking yet. But what questions does it raise and what answers does it give us in terms of who's helping us increase our differentiation and visibility?
Okay. So, and I'm hearing that looking at the data part is also, or what's included is talking to employees.
Yes.
Asking them what questions need to be answered or asked and all that other that you just mentioned. So
yes.
In all of this, what feels like the initial action for you to take before any of this? Like, if you look at this whole plan, what's the first action?
Putting metrics on some of those things, I think. As I think about it, the very first thing I'd have to do is put some metrics on those. Like, what are the revenue metrics that I want? What's the scale of enjoyability and purposefulness, that sort of thing.
Okay, so adding metrics to those four ands.
Yes.
Okay. When are you going to do that, Liz?
I'm going to do that on Wednesday. I have a big meeting tomorrow, but Wednesday I'll get back to it and I'll do it then.
Fantastic. And how will putting metrics to this and looking at your ands help you, let's see, with your takeaway is a plan for the next 10 years. How will putting metrics on this Wednesday help you move forward towards creating this plan for the next 10 years?
Well, it would be really helpful because it will help me make annual goals that track to the long term. I'll have to set the 10-year metric if there is one on any of that there, but then work backwards from there, and then I have to figure out what the annual targets are to get there. So that would be very
helpful. Sounds like a pretty cool strategic plan, Liz.
Yes, thank you very much. I really appreciate it. And I'm not sure I agree that you love therapy. That felt very therapeutic.
it can be therapeutic, and it doesn't have to be therapy.
Right.
So, and not bad for, we were just a little over 18 minutes, but you know what you want.
Yeah, it was a good use of my 18 minutes. I hope the other attendees found it useful from the observational thing.
Well, we'll get into that in just a minute, but what I want to do is ask you first, Liz, is stepping out of the client role for a minute, or sort of, mm-hmm. is, What are your observations of the coaching process and how it helped you?
Yeah, I mean, I think the first observation I had, which was, you know, probably at like minute seven, was, oh, I see how this works. You're just going to keep pushing me to stop quitting when I get stuck. And I think that, you know,
that's a nice way to say it. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like we were talking about things. I've thought about some of those things. I mean, countless times, but what happens is I get stuck and then I get bored and then I get annoyed and I do something else. So our conversation was really you sometimes asking and then rephrasing if I stayed stuck with my answer. Then I just thought, oh, that's what this is. This is, you know, you're not going to quit when we get stuck. So that was really, in a weird way, that was kind of annoying and comforting at the same time.
You're welcome. I get it.
I feel like I was being not pushed in the wrong way, but like nudged. You know, you were nudging me towards what I had to figure out.
Well, my role as a coach is to hold my clients' feet to the fire for what they tell me they want.
Mm-hmm.
You tell me what you want, and I'm going to hold you to it, and I'm going to help you figure it out. Yeah. And I do actually, do Liz, have a term for what you just mentioned, when you get stuck and then you get annoyed and then you just don't do it or do something else. I call that overwhelm-induced inertia.
Yes, right. Yes. Yeah.
I am familiar with that too. So, all right. And
yeah.
Now you do have an action plan. So big part of coaching, that shift or that aha or, oh, okay, now I see where I can go. That's the magic of coaching, and you know what everybody learns in the 22-week certified coach program is that's really awesome to get that magic. The power of coaching, though, comes in that, okay, what are you going to do first, and when are you going to do it?
Mm-hmm.
That's where action happens and change starts beginning, and people start moving forward. So that aha of, oh, I can look at the data. That's a great concept and that's a great intention. However, putting metrics to it Wednesday, that makes it real. And that creates accountability too. So a huge part of coaching or a coach's work is to be an accountability partner for their clients.
Yeah.
So you're going to have to find somebody else as an accountability partner since this is a demo, though. Sorry about that.
Yes, thank you. Thank you very much, and I appreciate it being the coachee. And thanks to everyone.
Well, thank you for stepping up. That's the important part of that. So, so what I want to do is open it up to the rest of you to share an observation. What did you like about the coaching? What did you hear? And I'd love to hear from as many people as possible. So if you could kind of keep your thoughts or observations succinct, that would be great. Who has a observation or question first?
This is Christina. I just had an observation. Yeah. I thought it was cool how you kept, I'd like to challenge you on that, you know, so just kind of just continuing just to kind of pull on that thread. And so, again, kind of gently pushing, if you will, that really kind of stood out to me and resonated.
So when I was challenging her on her ors and her ands?
Yeah. And you would just, you know, I'd like to challenge you on that and just kind of getting her to maybe think differently or change maybe the mindset. It was just a neat technique that I kind of picked up on what you were doing.
Yeah, thank you, Christina. And yeah, that's a huge thing that we're listening for in our clients too, is any, the broad term might be a limiting belief. So Liz, you were thinking that there are all these things and, you know, it was either or. So when a client is in either or thinking, to recognize that and say, is it really either or?
Right.
And you actually came to it yourself, Liz. You started opening up to that, said, oh, maybe and.
Right.
So you started opening up to that, and I wanted to help you continue in that, like you said, Christina, new mindset or shifting into that new mindset. Yeah. Thanks, Christina. Who else? Other observations or questions? I see a number of you are on mute, so if you want to come off mute.
This is Mallory. I would say I've done coaching before as a client myself, and it was in the I'm a physician, and so I did specifically physician to physician burnout coaching. And so what was interesting to me was to watch this session where you guys had some overlap, but you didn't have to actually know the details of Liz's day-to-day job or really even understand that in order to be able to apply the principles. So I thought that was really cool to watch how kind of broadly it can be applied.
Oh, absolutely. The only thing you really need as a coach to coach anyone is what they want to take away from a coaching session. In the Certified Coach Program, early on in week 3, you learn a 4-step simple coaching model that you can use with every client in every session as a framework for all of your coaching sessions. And part of it is showing up blank. You don't have to know anything about the client. And there again, I know nothing about Liz. All I needed to say was, what do you want to bring to the session? What do you want to take away? That's all I needed to know. Everything else that was relevant and pertinent to this, I trusted that Liz would bring into it, and all I had to do was listen for it. Yeah. Thanks, Mallory. Who else? Other questions, observations, thoughts?
Lori, I have a question. Sorry,
yeah.
I don't want to take time because I already I'm interested to think about this idea of you're listening for what someone wants, and then you're listening for their limiting belief, and then you're asking them questions to help them reorganize that limiting belief. Have I got that quite right?
With part of it, yeah. If you hear a limiting belief in there, then you know to challenge it. There may or may not be one. In
mm-hmm.
this instance with you, it was.
Mm-hmm.
And I was hearing the either-or thinking in there.
Got it.
And so what we're listening for, actually, what I tell my coaching students all the time is when you really listen to a client, they will tell you what to ask them next. And so when you said plan for the next 10 years, that was just an easy opening to say, okay, 317, 2035, you look back on it, what would make this 10 years awesome? So you talked about 10 years, and I kind of went with you with those 10 years.
Got it.
And let's see, I'm looking at others in my notes here. Oh, and then it was the either-or thinking. And then getting to the ands, it was just kind of focused on helping you look at how can you get it all? Because you said, maybe I can get it all, right? I tell my clients that. So I went with, okay, so how can you get it all four of those ands? So it's really the client's driving the bus. I don't have to direct. I don't have to push. I don't have to, you know, figure out where it's going. I just have to be there with you as a client and listen for you to tell me what to ask you next.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. So sometimes there will be limiting beliefs, but not always.
That's really helpful. And I love that idea that the client is telling you what to ask them next. I'm sure that's true. I think you probably are a very skilled listener when that starts to happen to you, but I love the idea of becoming one.
Well, it takes time and practice, definitely. And what I also want to say, just as a quick side note, Liz, is I want to really acknowledge you as well as a leader and business owner wanting to learn these skills, because the focus of my own business since 2018, 7 years, or maybe pandemic, somewhere, I don't know, it all kind of blends together, is teaching coaching skills to leaders and managers. You want to coach?
Yeah.
So I'm grateful to you that you kind of, you already get that, and that's wonderful. And you know, taking this training, I know would make a difference for how you communicate formally and informally with everyone.
I think that's exactly right. Yeah, it's very clear. Thank you. That's good.
Yeah. Other thoughts, observations, questions? All right.
Hi, this is
I'm sorry.
Yeah, thank you so much. I enjoyed it. I came in a little late, but what I loved was the gentle probing of questions, not giving the answers, but just really providing a platform for her to think through it and process information on her own. So I thought that was really nicely done.
Yeah. And this is Frida?
It is. Frida Bagel.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for that. Yeah, and see, the thing that I had to reconcile early on when I became a coach is that, you know, I thought I needed to know, right? I thought I needed to know in order to help. I thought I needed to ask all these detailed questions. Well, tell me more about you know, what you've already done and all these other things. And that actually gets in the way of coaching. I don't need to know a thing. I didn't need to know a thing about Liz or anything that she was doing. And it actually, in a way, it makes it easier to go into a coaching session that blank is actually easier, because I had no preconceived notions. I had no idea what she was going to bring. And even though it might sound a little counterintuitive, that makes coaching easier. And telling her what to do, I have no clue what's best for her. Frankly, there's most days I am not quite sure what's best for me, let alone anyone else. So I know that that's not my job, even though it's always a tendency. As soon as she started talking, my brain went, oh, I know what she could do. Oh, I would do, this is what I would do in her situation, right? Our brains naturally go to that place of, ooh, there's a mystery to solve, or, ooh, I can, if I get enough details from her, I can figure it out. That tendency does not go away, but in the training, you learn how to recognize it and then know what to do instead, which is coaching. Everybody comes into that, and everybody's got that desire to tell, teach, fix, solve, all those. It's just important to learn how to recognize it and know what to do instead. Yeah. Thank you, Frida. Any other thoughts or questions?
Hello, this is William. I just wanted to say I was really impressed with the flow and how naturally it all seemed to happen. So, yeah, I really appreciated the demo. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're very welcome. Thank you for the observation. Yeah, and it's fun when it flows. And underneath what sounded like just a kind of a regular kind of a conversation was a very strategic, the simple coaching model, like I mentioned, is a very kind of strategic format to move a client through a coaching session in a way that they're doing all the work. Yeah. We're having some typing here. I'm going to put somebody on mute. There you go. Okay. Other questions? All right. Then, Lisa, I think it's time to turn it back over to you. Liz, I want to thank you again for stepping up and everybody for your questions and observations.
Thank you.
Very insightful. And Lisa, it's back to you. And I can stay on for till about 10 or quarter after today.
Perfect. All right. Well, thank you, Lori. It was a great session. Liz, thanks for being our brave volunteer and, being transparent in front of a group you just met. So it was great. You're very comfortable. I really enjoyed the session. So thank you. Yeah, and great observations, too, by everybody. All right, I'm going to switch gears entirely now, and we're going to talk, as I said earlier, I'm going to give you an overview of the Certified Coach Program. So we'll talk about our ICF-accredited coach training, and we can open up for questions about that and the field of coaching and anything else in your mind. So the training here at Coach Training Alliance, our Certified Coach Program, is accredited with ICF. It's a very comprehensive coach training program designed to teach you how to coach and to really hone your coaching skills and develop them. Also to give you in-class experience coaching with valuable feedback on your coaching skills. And then we'll support you in designing and developing your own business and marketing to attract the clients that you most want to work with. So we describe this on our website as a three-legged stool. Coaching skills, business skills, marketing skills. We do find there are a number of applications to coaching. Some of our students are starting a coaching practice. Others are adding coaching to another business. And still others are bringing coaching to an organization and coaching internally. So lots of ways to utilize coaching skills. So this training is very, hands-on. It's a tried and true information about how to coach, how to run your business, and how to be a successful and ethical coach. We package our training into a 6-month, about a 22-week training, because we know as people who have a lot of work experience and life experience, we're not going to need years of coach training. Classes are all taught in a teleclass environment, just as we are today, so you can connect or dial in from a cell phone from wherever you are. Classes are 60 to 90 minutes per week and meet on the same day and time each week with the same small group of students and the same mentor coach. So, for instance, if you enroll in Lori's class starting next Wednesday, class will meet every Wednesday, 5 to 6 or 5 to 6:30 Eastern time with the same small group of 10 to 12 students and Lori through the whole training. Each week is foundational to the next, so you're building and developing your coaching skills, your competence and confidence, and you're also designing your business and how you want to create or how do you want to utilize coaching. Some of the weeks in class are what we call mentoring classes. 12 of the 22 weeks are mentoring classes, and this is where you can ask your questions about our curriculum. It's called the Coach Training Accelerator. It's an extensive curriculum delivered to you online, and the accelerator has built into it scripted coaching dialogues. We've got sample documents, coaching resources, related articles. We've got some audio sessions built in and advanced training tips. The information in the curriculum is practical and applicable to all coaching specialties. We also have a virtual classroom, which is a forum-based classroom. I like to call it an interactive syllabus, where you'll know each week what lesson you need to read, what assignment you need to complete, what you'll be discussing in class that week. And each week you'll read certain chapters and complete certain assignments. And there are always practical things you need to build and develop your coaching practice. In class, you'll ask questions, you'll share your wins, your challenges, you'll get support in the form of group coaching to move you past any stuck places, and also to celebrate all your milestones. The virtual classroom also has a student chat area, so it's a private classroom for you and your classmates and mentor coach to connect. So it's a great place to ask questions, support each other as you're designing things for your business, to be sharing things, getting feedback, maybe setting up practice sessions with classmates. So a great place to be connecting with your classmates outside of class. The other weeks in class, 10 of the 22 weeks, are actually spent coaching. And this is one of the only coach training programs where you can actually coach real people about real issues, and you'll receive immediate feedback on your coaching strengths and your areas to improve. The way we do this is by creating a schedule at the beginning of the course, and each student has equal opportunities to coach, to be coached, and to observe coaching in this dynamic learning process that we call Coach the Coach. We do record all the classes, so they are available for playback. Our mentor coaches will upload them into the virtual classroom every week, which is a great way to listen to yourself coach again, or listen to your feedback again, or just deepen the learning experience. Tuition for the Certified Coach Program is regularly $43.39. We are having a special this month, so tuition with the promo code is, I'm going to give you a promo code to take $650 off the tuition. So the tuition for any class on the schedule now is $36.89. And we have payment plans. You can either pay in full, or you can choose a 3-month, a 7-month, or a 9-month payment plan. So the promo code, let me give it to you now just so I don't forget. It's 2025, so this the year, 2025. When you apply it, you'll see $650 come off the tuition in the shopping cart. By the end of the Certified Coach Program, all of our CPA certified coaches have coached, have been coached, have received valuable feedback on strengths and opportunities, have chosen a niche for their coaching business, have designed client materials and systems, and are operating a well-leveraged client attraction plan and earning income as a coach. Once you've completed the training, beside your certification, you're also going to receive an invitation to our coaching directory. We also have a graduate community, so you'll be able to connect with other CPA-certified coaches from all over the world. We have a graduate school of coaching, so we're always developing and designing new trainings, grad trainings. We have a co-creative forum, which is a graduate forum that meets monthly, so that's a great way to stay connected. We usually do about a 15-minute topical teaching and a Q&A. It's a big Zoom call. So that's available for graduates. And then I'm also a resource. I'm happy to connect with students and graduates. So that's a quick overview. Let's open up for questions about the training, the field of coaching, anything coaching. Who would like to start? You have to come off mute if you're muted.
This is Christina. I had a question. Just wanted to make sure that I was tracking. So the weekly class is just, no video or anything like that, just via phone or what have you. But then there's a site where there's classroom material and where you can do chats. Did I track that correctly?
Yeah. So the weekly commitment that's timed is that each week on the same day and time, the 60 to 90 minute classes. And then outside of that, your virtual classroom is going to have the curriculum built into it, as well as the syllabus, assignments, and kind of connection place where you can connect with your mentor, coach, and classmate.
Got it.
And you can jump on that anytime you like.
Got it. makes
sense.
This is
Frida. You mentioned, I believe, that at the end of the 22-week, you will have coaching, quote-unquote, coaching clients. Did I get that right? And if I did get that right, could you maybe explain a little bit more about how that process works?
Yeah. So it's one of the certification requirements. Most of our students are starting a coaching practice or adding coaching to another business. So part of the training we describe as a three-legged stool: coaching skills, business skills, marketing skills. So where you're beginning to design your business very early on in the training and look at your niche market and look at how to market your coaching practice. So all of the assignments are business building assignments, marketing assignments. And I'm going to see, Lori, if you're still here, if you would want to, like, talk a little bit more about how that happens during the 22 weeks.
Yeah. Well, and first off, I would say they are clients. They're not so-called clients. They are clients, and they are paying clients. And what you get starting in week one is all the assignments for the class are for you, and they are all designed to help you. Like Lisa mentioned at the beginning, the three-legged stool, help you learn how to coach and also how to build and market a coaching business or add coaching to an existing business. And so it's scaffolded in a way that you will walk through the process of choosing a target market, figuring out where they are, crafting a message, crafting a business plan or a client attraction plan, all of that. You will walk through that. So the lesson plans are designed in a way that everybody in the class walks through that process. And within that process, you will make your own choices about what you want your business to look like and who you want to work with and how you're going to reach out to them and find them. So it's not a cookie cutter approach for everyone, but the process that we'll walk you through will help you get everything you need to coach people and get paid for it.
I understand. I just wasn't sure whether you had a pipeline of clients that are aligned to each of us or whether we create the process is that we create that through the 22 week and then we will have established the foundation for our own clients.
Yeah, you create that for yourself because, to be honest, there's no way that any school out there can create a pipeline for every student because, you know, in a class of 10 coaches, that's 10 different pipelines. And if there's, you know, I don't know, 10 or 15 classes running concurrently, and it's much more effective. Because if I were to say, you know, if your target market is people in retirement, I've got ideas for that, but I don't know who your ideal client is. And I don't know who you already know and who your network is. And I don't know all of the things about you that you do know and that you will figure out. Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
What else? What other questions?
Hi, this is Mallory. I have a question in terms of, like, is there a possibility to make up any classes or, like, what number of classes can be missed in order to still certify, just given my work schedule is pretty challenging, which is one of the reasons I've postponed this, but trying to make sure it would work within my schedule.
Yeah, no, great question. I'm glad I usually try to fit that in somewhere in that overview, and I don't know how I didn't this time, but it's a great question. So I'm glad you asked it. You can't really make up a class. You can listen to, like, if you need to miss a class, you can listen to a recording, which means you won't miss kind of the content, but there is an attendance requirement because of the ICF credentialing, accreditation. You know, each student has to go through live, there has to be a live portion of the training. So you can only miss two of the Coach the Coach classes and two of the group mentoring classes. So if you miss more than that, you're not eligible for certification. So you do want to kind of look at the day and time of class and, you know, see how that fits in your world. And I get people have, like, a moving target for you know, work schedules and things like that. But for you folks, I think you said you were from Seattle, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of people, West Coast people, will choose the 9 p.m. Eastern Time class, which sometimes fits, or the 10 a.m. classes, which are 7 a.m. your time, and it's, like, really early. But, you know, if you're a morning person, that can be great. So those are usually the two that I see most Pacific Time people looking toward if they were, and most people are working full-time when they go through the training because, you know, people have to, you know, work and earn a living, most of us. So, so those are the ones that generally, but, you know, we do have afternoon classes. I don't know how flexible your schedule is, you know, during your work week, but there are, you know, 10 a.m. Eastern time. So that's real early, 1 p.m. Eastern time, 5 p.m. Eastern time, 7 p.m. or 9 p.m. Eastern. So
okay.
If you need some information for like next month too, shoot me an email. I'm pretty clear on what we're going to offer next month. I just don't have everything on the schedule now. So you, if you need to look ahead, shoot me an email and I can, or chat with me on the live chat and I can send you that.
I was a little confused just in terms of like figuring out the different start dates. Is that like where it says the current classes? Is that just like,
yeah,
that's the first date of it?
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Okay.
So that's the class number 1 of 22.
Okay. Thank you.
So definitely not a moving target. I don't know that would have anyone able to enroll in the training if they were different days and times, right? So plus it's, I mean, international, like we have students from all over the world. So we try to make it as simple as we can. So what other questions?
Hello, this is William. So I have a question. So in order to get the ACC credential, it seems that on the ICF website there's a performance evaluation requirement. And I was wondering if that performance evaluation is embedded within this program?
Yeah, great question. I'm so glad you asked it because if nobody asked the question right now, I was going to say, so I'd like to talk about ICF credentialing because I don't mention it in the overview because it's kind of a – definitely explanation. So I'm going to back up a little bit. We do offer a level one path. So if you're interested in pursuing your ICF credential, you can definitely do that through CTA. But just to back up a little bit for everybody, ICF, if you've been researching, you found ICF, they're the International Coaching Federation. And they are not the governing body of coaching. There actually isn't a governing body of coaching. The field of coaching isn't regulated. But ICF is an association for coaches and certainly the most recognized association for coaches. Like if you talk to a coach, everybody's heard of ICF. ICF offers a lot of things. But for schools like Coach Training Alliance, they have an accreditation program. So we're accredited with ICF, which means that we teach and adhere to their standards and ethics and core competencies. So we're accredited with ICF. Once you finish this training, our certified coach program, you're certified through Coach Training Alliance. So you're a Coach Training Alliance certified coach, and you'll have your business up and running. You'll have marketing. You'll be marketing yourself as a Coach Training Alliance certified coach, so you'll be certified through an ICF-accredited coach training. If you want to pursue ICF credentialing, which isn't something you have to do, although you may want to, totally up to you, it's always a four-step process, no matter what school you go to. There's four steps. We call it the path. The first step in the path is education. This training, the Certified Coach Program, offers you all of the education hours you need for ICF credentialing. The next step on that path is experience. What ICF is looking for is that you're a well-established, professional, ethical coach who's been in practice. So you've got to be out there coaching for a while. So there are logs you can download. We can give them to you or you can get them on the ICF website. But you're going to want to keep track of your coaching experience. What we're looking for logged is 100 hours. 75 of those hours need to be fee-based. 25 of those hours can be pro bono. And so you're going to keep track of them on the logs, like who you've coached for how long, contact information, all that stuff. Once you've got 100 hours of coaching experience, that's a good time to kind of pause, take a look around, and make a decision about ICF credentialing. Some students will pursue it, some don't, totally up to you. You may find that in your niche market, the people you're coaching, they're not interested, they don't ask about it. Sometimes some niche markets are looking at ICF credentialing, but you'll have a really good idea in light of your business and your practice what your clients are looking for, or you may just want to pursue it because you want to. If you decide to do that, the next step on the path is mentor coaching hours, and you need to have 10 hours of mentor coaching, and we offer all of this here. Seven of them can be in a group. Three have to be one-on-one. And you do that right here with CTA. And then the last step is a performance evaluation, which is kind of what you're asking about, where you'll record a couple of your coaching sessions and transcribe them and send them to us. And then we will do an evaluation to be sure you're coaching and meeting all the criteria. And once you've passed that evaluation, then you'll receive, we'll issue you your level one certificate, and that's what you will upload with your application to the ICF website, and you'll pay them, and then they'll send you the date for your exam. So it's a bit of a process. It'll definitely take you some time. Nobody gets the ICF credential right out of the gate because there are four steps to the process, and experience is one of them, so it does take you a bit of time. But this training allows you to, or CTA allows you to make a decision along the way in light of your own practice. We've found that some coach training schools, a lot of them actually, kind of make you decide today you want to, like, you know, kind of eat the whole enchilada. But we feel like it's important for you to decide in light of your own practice what's important to you, and you can do that at a pace that works for you.
Can I add something, Lisa?
Sure.
Yeah. First off, what you said earlier, that coaching is not regulated, I'd like to that to coaching is self-regulated profession.
Oh, yeah, you can say it that way.
So I know it's just it could be semantics, but for me anyway, it's important because through the ICF Code of Ethics that all ICF members commit to, and we talked about that in the program too, ethics is huge in the profession of coaching, and that's what keeps us a self-regulated profession. We're not regulated by anybody, like, you know, doctors have the AMA and all that. However, we have the ICF and we regulate ourselves. The other one, and now I forgot. I spent too much time on that one. There was one other about the...
It was a good one, though.
Oh, I know. This is a good one, too. For anyone on the call today thinking about, you know, or who wants to work towards an ICF credential, start with getting really good training and start logging your coaching hours, both paid and pro bono. And then when you're done with your training, take an opportunity to say, okay, where am I in my application process? What else needs to be done? And move forward from there. But for right now, concentrate on getting ICF accredited training, at least 60 hours, and start logging your coaching sessions.
Yeah.
A question on the coaching hours, the $100, 75 pay, 25 pro bono. Does group coaching work in this environment or no? So if you have two people that you're coaching, does that work or no? It has to be one-on-one.
I think group is okay. Lori, do you know that? You've been through more of that process.
Well, I know what happens, you know, for the CTA class, for the Certified Coach Program with CTA, is a full fee, one group can count as one full fee client. With the ICF, I don't think two people in a group count as
two
individual clients. But I'm not positive. Please don't quote me on that.
Yeah, I think it's engagement, like a coaching engagement. Like if a coaching engagement has two people in it, it's one engagement. But you know what? It's a really good question that, you know, I'm writing down and I'm going to find the answer to because I don't know it. So I definitely will look into that. I am not credentialed through ICF. I've never been asked. I've been coaching since 2005. And nobody's ever asked me. So, I mean, I keep track of my experience, and, you know, any additional trainings I've taken and mentor coaching, things like that. But, you know, where it's not on my target market's, you know, radar, like they're more interested in connecting with me and feeling like, oh my gosh, she gets me. She understands me. I like her energy, you know, that kind of thing. So, I haven't pursued it. So from that standpoint, I don't know the answer to that, but I will find out. And I think it's good to make a decision based on your experience. I know that from what I'm hearing in the world of coaching, a lot of companies, like, you know, especially big companies, state or federal organizations, they're looking for ICF credentialing. Like if you're planning on being hired by a company to, like, as a contract to work with, like, their, you know, leadership team, they might be asking for ICF credentialing. So it's becoming more, there's more of an awareness around ICF credentialing. I feel like people, probably less so.
Yeah, no, there is more increased attention around the credentialing. And then the question that I had around paid, is there a rate or a range around this? Because some of us have been coaching for so long, informally and formally through our various roles in corporate, that I have no idea what the rates are. It's almost like consultants, you can range from $100 to $300, $400, $500 an hour. So wasn't sure if you have any insights around ranges, acceptable ranges.
Lori, do you want to talk about that?
Yeah, I'll take that. And then I do need to jump off. But yeah, you'll start looking at your fees early on in the program too. So there are a lot of different things that go into setting your fees. And it's a wide, wide range. So it depends on what you want to make. It depends on your experience. It depends on your confidence. It depends on your target market. So there's not just one thing that goes into that, but you'll have the opportunity. And we have a discussion on fees in week 8 when we talk about entrepreneurship. So There's no way to answer that, and it's actually neither ethical nor legal for us to advise any CTA students on what fees to set. We can give ideas and examples, and then you choose your own and get that set up. Yeah. Anyway, I need to jump off. Thank you so much, Lisa. If anybody wants to join me next Wednesday, please sign up. And
excellent.
I am out. Thanks so much, Lisa. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks. Bye, Lori. Take care. Have a great night. All right. What other questions are out there?
I have another question. This is Mallory. I'm sure I'm not the first to say this, but there's obviously a million programs out there, so it's a tough decision to find the one that's right. Personally, I'm really looking for one that's, like, ground-rooted and, like, science and is rigorous in that, you know, maybe even that, like, positive psychology backing. And I'm wondering if you can speak to any of those concerns when choosing a program.
Yeah, that's a great, I think all coaching is positive, and I think all coaching is really just based on, you know, our simple coaching model is really based on absolutely 100% ICF core competencies, but also really is based and backed in neuroscience as well. But I would say as you're looking at trainings, like there are so many out there now, it's a lot. I mean, I definitely would steer toward an ICF accredited coach training because then you know there's accountability and someone has really poured through the training to be sure they're, you know, really teaching coaching and it's aligned. And I think that's a really important piece, especially now. I mean, when we first started out in 2000, there were like, you know, a small handful of schools, and now there's so many. I think it's important to really kind of, you know, take a look at, make sure they're accredited with ICF because there's a lot of schools out there that aren't, which is interesting because it's not hard to get accredited for a school. I mean, it's, you know, a lot of jumping through hoops, but ultimately, like if you're really teaching coaching skills, it shouldn't be too hard. So I would look at that. The other thing I would look at, there are any school that's ICF accredited is going to be teaching the core competencies. But they're so different in that, like, some schools have really long coach training programs. Some start at a really foundational place, like there's a whole, like, you know, theory of coaching and, you know, learning methodologies and really rooted in very fundamentals, which is fine if that's what you're looking for. It makes for a much longer coach training program. We don't really start there. Most of our students and people that are interested in our training, they're looking for a training program that's, you know they want to become a coach, and they're, like, kind of ready to get going. So so we start at that place rather than this is, like, listening 101. And the other thing that we – and so every school is also putting together kind of their winning, like, this is what we feel like is really, really important, and this is the way we think it's important to teach it. So our training's short. You know, we look at a six-month program, 22 weeks, because most people are looking to start and grow a business. They don't want to be in school for a year and a half. They don't want to pay 20 grand. And so we kind of start right there. And then the piece that – some of the things that we felt were really important in a coaching program was it being a very interactive, experiential training where it's not focused just on, you know, here are a whole bunch of videos and some things to watch and then come back and try it. We feel like it's important for the training to be progressive and each week being foundational to the next, so there's really a way for you to be integrate learning about the coaching model, hearing the coaching model, practicing the coaching model. We have a clear method, a clear coaching model that we teach. We think it's also important to have a community and to be able to build relationships with other classmates. So we teach in a small group environment of just 10 to 12 students. A lot of the trainings out there have, like, rolling admission, you know, 25 people in a class, you know, so we just felt like small cohort that's the same where you really get to know everyone in your class is really important. You know, so you can build, like, relationships with classmates. All of our facilitators are experienced. Most of them have been teaching with CPA over a decade, some like Lori even more. So we think that's really important. You know, our tuition is right now is even better with the promo code, but we've got a good tuition that's affordable. But the thing that I find that's different in a lot of the coach training schools is each school teaches core competencies and teaches you how to coach in the way that they feel is, like, the winning way to teach. But each school also has what I kind of look at as, like, their special sauce, right? Like, some schools are teaching, like, neuro-linguistic programming and coaching. Some are teaching wellness and coaching. Some are teaching, I'm trying to think. Some schools have, like, an assessment they've developed. So they teach you how to use the assessment and then you buy the assessment. So each school has kind of their own thing they teach along with coaching skills. And ours is business and marketing skills. You know, most of our students are starting a coaching practice or adding coaching to another practice. So learning how to really develop so that when they finish, their business is up and running and they're coaching. So that's kind of our thing that sets us apart. And most schools don't cover business and marketing, just more of the coaching side of things and some specialty stuff. So, those are some of the things I could go on and on. That really sets CTA apart. But I think what's most important as you're looking at a coach training program is, you know, certainly ICF credentialing, or accreditation, and then also finding the coach training program that gives you everything you need to be successful. Like, and that might look different for different people. So it's important to find the one that's really going to fit for you, especially if you have a good idea of what you're looking to come away with. You can find the training that will give you that. Does that help, Mallory? I think that was Mallory.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Any questions about that?
No.
All right.
I answered my question. Thanks.
Yeah. So, we're at the time we're supposed to be wrapping up. So, a couple of things. I'll stay for more Q&A if you guys have more questions, but I don't want to hold you too late, and I'm definitely going to go over by at least a minute or two. So as we wrap up, we've done a lot in just 90 minutes here and are becoming a certified coach workshop. We had an opportunity to learn about the co-creative relationship as we did the exercise about what coaches do and what coaches don't do and what clients do in their roles. We had an opportunity with Thank You, Liz, for being our brave volunteer to listen to some live coaching. It's for you to experience it and offer your observations, which were great. And Liz, you were an amazing client. It's great to have a very coachable client. So I appreciate that. Glad you all got a chance to meet Lori Cameron. She's great. She was, like I said, my mentor coach back in 2005. So we've been around together for a while here on CTA and been coaching a long time, certainly. And then we had an opportunity to talk a bit about the actual training and how we teach. And of course, the ICF credentialing process, which I think is important to know and understand. I'm going to, if you're ready to enroll, I think there are 4 or 5 classes on the website now. I think I have one for every time frame. There's a 5 p.m. class with Lori starting next Wednesday. We have a morning 10 a.m. class starting Thursday the 27th with Carrie Martello. I have a 9 p.m. class starting April 1st. It's with Rebecca Brown. I've got a 1 p.m. class Mondays at 1 p.m. Eastern with Dr. Dave Kruger. And then I have a 7 p.m. Eastern time class on the 16th, so Wednesdays at 7 p.m., and that's with Cody Williams. If you want to meet any of our mentor coaches, like you got a chance to really meet Lori today, but on our YouTube channel, most of our mentor coaches have a video interview. So feel free to go check them out if you want to meet them live. You can certainly come to another class like this. I usually have, most of the time I have someone like Lori jumping in to do some coaching. So if you're interested in coming back, I think I have a bunch of them listed on the website with different mentor coaches. So feel free to take another class like this. The enrollment process, as you find the class that fits your schedule, when you're in the shopping cart, that's when you're going to use your 2025 promo code. So just plug in 2025 and apply it. You'll see the $650 come right off the tuition. And then you'll make a decision about paying in full or using a payment plan. There are 3 payment plans. There's a 3-month, 7-month, 9-month, so choose whatever fits best for you. Once you've enrolled in the training, you're going to get a receipt and a welcome email automatically. It comes right to you. Keep an eye out for that. Then we're also going to send you out manually. We have to create your username and password. So we do that, and we send that out to you sometimes shortly after you enroll, but keep an eye out for that. So that's kind of the enrollment process. If you have more questions, feel free to stay. I will be here for more Q&A. Also, you can reach out to me on the live chat. I'm at the live chat a lot. I will answer as quickly as I can. Or you can call me or you can email me. My direct phone line is 303-991-0388. So you can reach me there, or you can email me. It's lisa@coachtrainingalliance.com. So feel free. I think sometimes after we finish a class of 90 minutes like this, sometimes questions pop up. After we finish, feel free to reach out. I'm happy to connect with you. So that'll end formally for us. I want to thank you for joining. If you can stay for more Q&A, I'll be here. This has been a great, really interactive class, so I appreciate you guys. If you need to leave, have a great rest of your night. And if you're going to stay, I'll be here.
Thank you, Lisa. Have a good night.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Bye, Liz.
Hey,
thank
Lisa.
Thank you so much.
So who's got some questions? I see a couple people still here.
Afrita's on. I can wait for us to have a call afterwards. I hear it echoing now.
Yeah, I do too. I'm going to mute you, Frida, because I think someone else has a question. Hold on one sec. Okay, who has the question? Was it Christina? Oh, Christina didn't. All right, I'm unmuting you, Frida. Go ahead. What was your question? Oh, I already unmuted you, but I think you muted again. I think you'll have to hit it one more time. All right, open for anyone. Anyone with questions, last-minute questions? I'm going to try unmuting you, Frida. I don't know if you were trying to speak. Are you there?
Oh, no, I, yeah, I, um, saw your email, so I was thinking we could stay on this line unless you want to call separately.
Oh, we can answer here. And there's someone else here. Someone, I think it looks like Ontario. Are you here? Did you have any questions?
Yes, I'm still here.